welcome to the Porch on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund, broadcasting live from the Firefall Studio on Firefall Talk Radio. Only place you can do that is, well, only place you can hear that is Spreaker.com. This is where we get back to basics, examining the Word of God. We focus on the Book of Acts Church, and we take a deeper look on how they serve the Lord so that we can replicate and find and restore the priesthood of the believer. And in doing so, get that world-shaking influence the early church had, because we need it. We need it right now. No filters, no watering down. We take the word as it was given to us and we apply it. Church age still in effect. Day of Pentecost ongoing. The fire still falls. Porch is an outreach, Solomon's Porch Inc. Go down to solomonsporch.org if you want to contact us there. Or go to firefalltalkradio.com. You can contact us. You can also find ways to support what we do. Make sure you bookmark us on the Spreaker site, the main Spreaker address, spreaker.com/user/firefalltalkradio, one word, lowercase. We appreciate your support and your encouragement. Appreciate our Blog Talk, iTunes, and iHeartRadio listeners. You know what? We start out with praise reports and prayer requests, and I want to praise the Lord for my salvation, my relationship with Him. I want to praise Him for the home that He's given me to do this in, for my lovely wife, for my family, sons, daughter-in-laws, grandson, our furry kids, all of our possessions, everything we have. I praise Him for it. I praise Him for His love, His mercy, and His protection. For this ministry that He lets me work. For the dreams and the visions. For His healing virtues. For the ability to praise Him. For being a new creation and living in these prophetic times and being used by Him. I praise Him for the signs. I believe He's getting ready to return. And so we should pray for the Middle East. We should pray for Jerusalem. We should pray for the peace of Israel. We should pray for the fatherless, the widows, the innocents, the victims of injustice, for our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering for their faith. You know, we have it really easy in America. We want to complain and act like we're persecuted, but we're not. Our brothers and sisters around the world, in the Middle East, in the places in the Muslim countries where they are slaughtered for their faith, in the Asian countries where they're put in prisons and tortured. We can't forget them. We must remember them. Lately, I'm asking for prayer because lately there's been a lack of sleep. And the best way to describe it is I can feel a sense of an impending event in my spirit. Last couple of nights, I've woken up every hour on the hour to pray. No alarm clock. Spirit wakes me up. So keep that in prayer. I pray for divine wholeness, health, and healing in me and in all of you, my wife, my family. It is a struggle in this fallen world to live the way we were designed. The world system, the food that's created, everything about this world is meant to destroy us. We must make an effort to push back against that. We must make an effort in prayer and in supporting one another for healing. I pray for protection, inspiration. You know, I've been praying for the remnant to wake up, rise up, and answer the call to action. For those that have been blessed to be a blessing. I believe 2019 is going to be, I don't want to put a label on it just yet. I don't have a clear word, but I do believe that it's going to be an active year. So I pray for the open conduit of His blessings. Woody here in Central Florida, listener and supporter, has asked for prayer for his wife and their baby in her womb, 32 weeks pregnant, considering admitting her to the hospital today due to high risk. Blood pressure is really high. They think they may have to induce the baby. Pray for her blood pressure to go down, be normal, for the safety of the baby. He's specifically praying for shalom over his wife so she does not stress So please keep that in prayer. Stacy in Texas is transparent enough to admit that she's struggling. She has an unspoken prayer request for herself, her marriage, her mom, and her family, asking for prayer for her grandfather who's in hospice care for his soul, and he's in a lot of pain. Says, I'm praying for you, for SRT, and for everyone to be able to come together. Working on it, Stacy, trying to figure it out. As soon as I have it, I'll announce it. Kim in Fort Mitchell says, things in Alabama fine. Well, she didn't say that. I said that. Things in Alabama are fine. She wants to praise the Lord for being alive, saved, and sober. Grateful for her children, her dog Bruno, for her friends Stacy and Betsy and this ministry and the courses she just started. Praying for her families, children, unsaved family members, deliverance for all of us, protection over homes and possessions. She says, Father, please continue to guide me through the school process and keep me sane. An unspoken prayer request for her husband, protection over our souls and spirits, over our bodies, healing our minds and past experiences that keep us in bondage. And she's asking for a financial blessing of some kind. So please keep that in prayer. Please provide and take over in Jesus' name. Lord, you're all we have. You are all we have. The world wants us to think otherwise. It's not the lottery. It's not any of these things that the world says are our rescue, our savior. You are. So we come before you now as your children, humbly asking for your help, asking for your physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and even financial blessings. The cares and the distractions of this world are strangling us. So we trust you. We put our trust in you. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your promises being fulfilled. We thank you for the ability to boldly approach your throne. Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy. In the darkness of this time, in the craziness of this world, we seek shelter under the shadow of your wings, in that hidden place where it's just you and us. We clear our minds right now to hear you, Father, to hear you, Lord. We clear our hearts, our souls, and our spirits, Holy Spirit, for you to reach us. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you for the upper room. We thank you for one another. We pray for our family members that are unsaved. We pray for our brothers and sisters that have wandered away or shuttered themselves off without explanation. Help us to help them, to pray for them. Show us how to pray. We ask the Holy Spirit to invade us, to cover us, to fill us, to rain down upon us and explode from inside of us. Will you reside? Will you abide? We want to hear you. We want to know your will. We want to know your desires. We want to be more like you. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done, and thank you for what you are doing. And I just pray all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. Lessons are proprietary information, except where noted the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information, the manner presented, is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Yeshua by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Yeshua answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Yeshua answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." That was John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, very familiar section. We touch on it a lot. What's really interesting is, if you look at it logically, what the Lord is saying to Nicodemus has nothing to do, apparently, with the question or the statement is made. Sometimes we have to listen more than we speak, and we need to look for what he's trying to say. Nicodemus is looking for answers. He's looking for reassurance, and the Lord is giving him the only reassurance that he possibly can. You must be born of the Spirit. You must be born again. You can't understand anything that you want to ask me unless you are living a life in the Spirit. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We've been talking a lot about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about life in the Spirit. Oswald Chambers says, "You must be born again. This is not a command. It is a foundation fact. The characteristics of the new birth is that I yield myself so completely to God that Messiah is formed in me." What we're talking about in this scripture is regeneration. That regeneration is spiritual at salvation and will be physical at his second coming. Matthew 19:28 says, and this is the Lord speaking, "Assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." The Amplified of that says, "In the new age, the messianic rebirth of the world, when the Son of Man shall sit down on the throne of his glory." Regeneration. The enemy gives us a counterfeit called the new age. But the truth is, there was a new age promised. A new heaven, a new earth, a messianic rebirth of the world promised at his return. In the regeneration, the coming kingdom is promised. We see that in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed." The Son of Man is the Lord, the Ancient of Days is the Father, and that's the regeneration that Daniel was seeing. That's the regeneration that has been promised to us. As I worked on this, this thought came to mind. The life we were born into was not the one the Lord intended for us. Until you are born again, until your eyes are opened, until you have been given a new heart, you don't understand that. Very difficult for religious people who are not born again to understand that the life that they live and have lived since birth was not his best for us. Titus 3:5 brings up this topic again, where it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to highlight, if you're going to underline, if you're following along, regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, that's what the Spirit does. That's why he had to go back to the Father. That's why he had to send the Holy Spirit. That's how we're able to do greater things. The Holman Bible Dictionary says that regeneration is the radical spiritual change in which God brings an individual from a condition of spiritual defeat and death to a renewed condition of holiness and life. The biblical doctrine of regeneration emphasizes God's role in making this spiritual change possible. It's not man's role. It's not the church's role as an organized religion. It's his role. Regeneration, palingenesia. The spiritual change that baptism symbolizes. You must be born of water and the Spirit. You must be baptized both in water and by the Spirit. It's a new birth. It's a new change. It's a new time. Yet why are so many who claim to be born again exactly the way they were before that moment of conversion? Something's wrong with this picture. When he told Nicodemus, you must be born again, meaning you must be born from above. You've been born from below. You've been born from your mother. That's just not good enough. I know that sounds cold. But as I looked at my life before I got saved, as I looked at my understanding before then, the choices that I made, the choices the enemy tries to get me to make again, even after salvation through trickery and deceit, that was not my best life. Matter of fact, even this life here, it's good, it's great. But you know, my best life is later. It's either in paradise or in the kingdom of God here on earth. But it is exclusively this life in the Spirit, sovereignly delegated by Almighty God through the act of regeneration. The earth will be made new. We are made new spiritually. We will be made new physically. The intent of the Garden of Eden will be restored, but the garden itself can never be restored until after the new millennium. I wonder if sometimes we're looking for things that we've been told to look for that were never his intention. And just a thought. And you know, this work was different for me. As these random, not random, but as these thoughts and questions would come up, I put them in my notes. I added them to the study so that I could share them with you. So this regeneration, it's conversion, it's sanctification, it's justification. It is a change, I believe, even on a cellular level, that through the interference of the enemy, through the interference of the world, we have neglected, and we have moments of enacting. We have moments where we are not of this world, but we can't sustain it. It's very difficult to sustain. It's not impossible. It's just difficult. But regeneration means a new life, a new birth. Are you honest enough to answer the question I'm about to ask you? Are you living a new life, or have you just put window dressing on the old one? Are you a new creation, or are you still doing the things you did before? I know salvation, instantaneous sanctification, is the ongoing process of the Holy Spirit working within you and with you. But if after a length of time you are still engaging in the same besetting sins that you had before you got saved, something's wrong. If you do the things you did before and there's no conviction, something is wrong. You know, we have been blessed with our grandson, and we are now watching and babysitting every day. Mostly my wife does the watching. I watch her watch, and I help out. And I look at him, and I'm awed by, first of all, God's handiwork. I'm awed by how gorgeous and wonderful he is. But I also see the spiritual symbolism in him. He's new. He has no flaws in his personality or in his choices. He's a clean slate, like we are when we're baby believers. We need help. We need somebody to hold us up. We need somebody to reassure us when things feel wrong, even if they're not. We need someone to tell us how to do what needs to be done. That's what the concept of discipling is. And that's why when we look at an infant, we see a tangible example of the new life that we've been given as believers. Second Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I know I've said this, but the beginning of my transformation in 2007 and then the second phase of it in 2010 came from a couple of questions. One was, where are the greater things you talked about? And two, if I'm a new creation, why do I make the same old mistakes? And that's when I really began to look at the concept being born again, the concept that I think he meant it on every level, both natural and supernatural. We are a new creation. We have gone through an act of regeneration. I can tell you the moment I felt it when I prayed it at the altar of confessing him as Lord of my life, I felt it in the water of baptism. I have felt those moments where something has shifted, something has changed. And then the enemy sneaks in and the world sneaks in and my fears and the cracks in my upbringing, the flaws in my programming, if you will, sneak in there and try to mess it all up. The distractions and the cares of this world. I want to be a new creation. I don't want to be the way I was. And I don't believe that I am, but I have moments where certain triggers get me to respond a certain way. And then I have to stop my physical nature. I have to stop my human nature. And I have to apply my regenerated nature. I don't know if that's resonating. I don't know if you're getting that. I don't know if I'm the only one who has these thoughts and has these concerns about living in this fallen world, looking at all the things the enemy does to entice and seduce and destroy us. But I want to be, to the best of my ability, until he gives me the new body, until he comes back, until either I die or I fly, I want to be that workmanship that he's proud of. I want to be that handiwork that others can look at and say, I see Jesus, I see Yeshua in you, or what is it about you that's different, which then allows me to explain what it is. We have been created not just for good works, but for a good relationship, for a good life. We have been created for a life in the Spirit. Over and over, the Lord referred to this. John 5:21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. And as I worked on this, and the scripture hit me, and I dwelled on it, which sometimes I'll just stare at a scripture, I realized the abundant life that at least I've been looking for isn't money, isn't a big home, isn't it a car, isn't it all the things that the name it and claim it crowd told me it was. The abundant life is the fullness of the Holy Spirit inside of me, manifesting internally and externally so that I can affect others, I can help change others, I can help participate in the act of regeneration. The abundant life is a life that is abundant in the Holy Spirit. Some of the poorest people in the world have had more Holy Spirit in them than others have ever thought of having. You want abundant life? Start with the Holy Spirit. You want a life different than you have now? Figure out what is hindering you from living the best life that He has for you. I'm not saying it doesn't mean nourishment and healing and all the things that are secondary, but the abundant life in the Spirit is a life that is abundantly spiritual. It's endless. It's a quality of life that can't be found in this world. It's a higher quality. It's a completeness. It's a perfection that this world and a religious system can never give you. And it's only possible through the assistance of the Holy Spirit, which comes to us through salvation, which gets us back to you must be born again. You must be regenerated by the Holy Spirit, born from above. That new life that we want, that enriched, flowing, comprehensive life, comes from a relationship with Him that has certain demands on it. And one of them is holiness. And I know that's not a topic that is very popular. But when I say holiness, it is a separation unto God. It is a separation from the world and the things of this world. It is a separation from the enemy and the lies and deception of the enemy. If I spoke to you right now and in the power of the Holy Spirit said, let your eyes be opened and let your life and your mind reveal to you those areas in your life that are hindrance to the Holy Spirit, that are keeping you from understanding and walking in the power of regeneration. If I just blessed you right now in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, that every part of your life that is unholy and separates you from Him would be revealed to you in the blink of an eye. Now what are you going to do about it? If suddenly you've come under conviction for some aspect of your life, what are you going to do about it? Well, the first thing you should do is repent. Say, Father, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me in my weakness. Help me overcome this area. I want a life in the Spirit. I want people to look at me and want more of you because of what they see in me. But this regenerated life can only come from your Heavenly Father. It's not man-made and doesn't come from religious ritual. Let the words of the Lord to Nicodemus resonate inside of you. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is spirit. Everything you birth in your flesh is flesh. Everything the Spirit births in you is spirit. Romans 8, starting verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity, it's hatred against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Messiah, he is not his. And if Messiah is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Messiah from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So we keep coming back to that. We keep coming back to the Spirit who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you. I hear that in my head. I hear it in my spirit. Sometimes I'll be outside with the dogs, or it doesn't even matter where I am. The thought will come to my mind, and I will cry out to the Lord, Lord, I want that manifestation always. I want to walk in that. I want to set the captives free. I want the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, the dead to rise. And I want to set the captives free and proclaim Jubilee to them. If the Spirit of him that raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, then he that raised up Messiah from the dead shall quicken, shall make alive, shall give life to your mortal bodies by his Spirit. Quicken. We need to be made alive, folks. Dead religion isn't making it a dent in the world. Dead religious ritual, dead denominations isn't doing a thing but taking up space and wasting God's money and his time. For as in Adam all die, so even so a Messiah shall be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22, 2 Corinthians 3:6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Romans 4:17, in the presence of him whom ye believe, God gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. 1 Peter 3:18, for Messiah also suffered once for sins, that the just for the unjust, and that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. This message is woven into the New Testament. It's woven into the letters. It's woven into the book of Acts Church. They were alive. They were alive in the Spirit, and the Spirit was alive in them, and they brought life everywhere that they went. If we live any other life than this. This is another one of those moments where I wrote down a revelation. If we live any other life, it's because we choose to or have allowed the enemy to make the choice for us. Let me say that again. If we live any other life than the life that the Word is telling us about, the life in the Spirit, it's because we've chosen to or have allowed the enemy to make the choice for us. We keep trying to recreate moments of feeling alive, never understanding that we are already alive. Your heart beats, the blood flows, you are alive. Do you get up each day checking to see if you are alive? Do you check your pulse? Do you wonder, am I alive? No, you know that you're alive and you move forward as if you are. So why is being born again any different? You know, everybody's making jokes about the senator who took the DNA test to prove that she was Native American, and in actuality to prove she was very little, but that's not the point. And they're making jokes about, well, I took the DNA test, and I'm this, and I'm that. And I was thinking, Maybe I should just put a meme, you know, one of those created things on the internet to go, I took the DNA test and it tells me I'm 100% born again. I get up each morning. I know I'm born again. I don't have to pray the prayer of salvation again. I don't have to wonder, Lord, am I saved? My heart beats. My spiritual heart beats. His blood flows in me. His blood has marked me. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The enemy has fooled us into believing that we don't have a life in the Spirit and the Spirit is not in us. And here's how he does it. I just read it to you in Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I know I shared this with you, and the brother that happened to say it to me passed away in the last 2 weeks. I mentioned him in my book, The Supernatural Battle. He was one of the core prayer partners early in my life, and we fought together side by side against the enemy. But one night, his name was Bubba Leonard. Yeah, that's really interesting that a New York Italian would have a friend named Bubba. One time we were at the house, we had to run back to the house to get something. The phone rang, and I yelled for Bubba to answer, and he had this really thick Alabama drawl. Then it was my mother. So he handed me the phone, and my mother, in her New York Italian clipped way of saying things, who was that? I said, oh, it's Bubba. But anyway, one time, in the midst of my running and gunning and doing the things I was doing, we were in the sanctuary praying. And he looked at me, brother. He said, brother, you need to tone it down a little bit. You don't want to be so heavenly minded. You're no earthly good. And the Spirit rose up inside of me and I confronted him. I handed him my Bible and said, tell me where it says that. We have been fooled into filtering and putting God over here and the Holy Spirit over here and our relationship with the Lord over here and our walk in the world over here and the job that we have, and I can't be overt about anything and I can't talk about the Lord and I really don't care what people tell me I can't do. In fact, don't tell me what I can't do because I'm going to find a way to do it. I'm going to find a way to get Scripture in there. I'm going to find a way to glorify Him in everything I can and will do because I live a life in the Spirit. But the world system and the enemy has convinced us, oh, no, you don't want to offend anybody. Don't do that. I want to be spiritually minded. I want every aspect of my life to resonate in such a way that I am connected to the throne room and that from the throne room he either affirms or denies something I'm about to do, tells me to change the wording, tells me to do it this way, but I am walking a walk that's in agreement with him. And it doesn't matter where I am or what I do. I am born again 100% of the time. I am his son 100% of the time. I serve him 100% of the time. And it's when I try to diminish that or marginalize it or compartmentalize it that the enemy gets in. Is this making sense? Is this resonating with anybody in your life right now? Have you put him in a box? Oh, I'm at work right now, so Lord, you got to stay. Holy Spirit, nope. You can't be showing me things about people right now. See, this time off, and now I'm just talking. We're not teaching or preaching. I'm just talking to you. You're my family. SRT hasn't done anything in a year. Everything has been put aside for the moment, set aside. I'm in a period. I don't know about we. I'm not even sure SRT will continue to exist as it is right now. It will probably change. But that's neither here nor there. But the point is, I've had time to look. I've had time to rest. And I think a time is coming where there will be no rest, and that everything will be seen through his eyes, and everything will be done with his heart and with his voice. And he will not be put in a box. He will not be denied. People will be prayed for. Hands will be laid on. Demons will be cast out. We will be like the Book of Acts church. We will shake the world and turn it upside down one last time before the return of the King. And anyone who doesn't want to run and gun on that level is not coming with me. So I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. But the works of the flesh are evident, and everything I'm about to read to you from verse 19 on are aspects of the world and the world system that we have been seduced into imitating. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Messiahs have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Here we go, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So phase one of regeneration has taken place. The spiritual man has been regenerated. Phase two has been delayed. And that delay causes problems with phase one. If we are a new creation in Messiah, old things have passed away. All things should have become new. And I wondered, even now as I'm speaking this, what's your point, Lord? Why am I sharing this with your children? I get it why you shared it with me. It's brought into focus where things are going and how I'm going to be. But what is it you want from your sons and your daughters? How do they apply this? If you're going to live in the Spirit, you have to walk in the Spirit. You can't have one without the other. If you're going to sow to your flesh, then your flesh will reap corruption. But if you're going to sow to the Spirit, capital S, then the Holy Spirit will reap everlasting, abundant life. So I think here we are, October 24th, we're in the final phases of the year. Maybe it's time to start looking at your life on a daily basis. Say, Lord, what is it you want me to change? What is it in my life that has either been brought back to life or I have been tricked into assimilating? How do I keep from being subject outside of going into a cave somewhere or a monastery from the lust and evil passions of this world? How do I keep from allowing sin anywhere near me back into the camp? How do I keep from yielding myself to the world and to the enemy, but only yield myself to you? When I have to go to work, I have to go here, I have to go there, I have to be in the world but not of the world, and I'm not doing very well at that, Father. I think one of the ways to do what I just said is to start picturing sin. Sin is anything that will separate you from your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Start picturing sin as a king or a tyrant. Start picturing sin as a terrorist looking to destroy you, looking to sneak into your life, looking to infect your soul and your spirit, to dominate you, to trick you, to depress you, to overwhelm you. Telling you to get your eyes off of God, get them on yourself and your circumstances. Life in the Spirit is an exclusive relationship. It's a marriage covenant. Life in sin is an entrapped relationship or slavery. So in the midst of this, in the midst of working on this, suddenly the Lord speaks to me about Cain. And I'm thinking, huh? Okay, let me go back to Cain, Genesis 4. Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you don't do well, sin lies at your door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Well, apparently that didn't help Cain, because he talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. But if you look at verse 7 of Genesis 4, and you go back to the old King James, this is what it says. When it talks about sin lies at your door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Sin was pictured as a living male entity, a vicious animal, looking to pounce on Cain. And I thought about that, and I saw that in the commentary. Sin is pictured as a vicious animal looking to pounce upon you. Well, I thought, gee, I can tie this to somewhere else in Scripture, can't I? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Sin is born of the adversary. And you're not the only one, but your brothers and sisters in the world are suffering from the same attack, that he's looking to devour them. He lies at their door looking for a way in, looking to rule over them. But we must decide here and now. I'm born again, Hasatan. I am born again, fallen angels. I'm born again, demonic spirits. You have no authority over me, and if I've given you any, I rescind it right now. I know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who is born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. I know it because 1 John 5:18 says it. I also know Ephesians 6:11, to put on the whole armor of God, that I may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickeries, the schemes of the adversary. So either sin will dominate the Cain nature in us, or the Cain nature in us will resist the temptation of sin. There is no neutral ground. See, Cain represents unredeemed man, and everything about his nature is represented in us before we become born again. From Genesis to Revelation, it all ties together. And I could probably go another hour on why Cain killed Abel and why he was upset, why his offering cost him pretty much nothing, and Abel's offering was much more complete. But it was in Cain's nature. It's in our nature until we become born again. Cain had a divided loyalty. He wanted what he wanted over what God wanted. If he really loved God, he would have looked at him and he would have been happy for his brother. But he wasn't. So how do we live this life? And I'm asking a question here, and this is one of those moments where I would love to be in a room with interaction and responses. And I know the responses, you know, having done this in a home fellowship with people of various degrees in their walk, some unsaved, some not in the right mind when we used to bring the homeless in. And so some of the interactions were very colorful. They weren't always appropriate. But the point is, it opens doors, conversation, interaction. You begin to hear yourself, you begin to hear others, and just like you're listening to me now. When I look at the thing that calls itself the church, when I look at brothers and sisters in the Lord and their divided loyalties, especially at this time of the year when Halloween and supposed born-again believers are celebrating a holiday of death and demonic inspiration, but thinking it's okay, I live under grace, God's okay with what I do. I know the enemy's okay with what you do. I know the enemy is going to look at what you do and look for that opening to attack. You wonder why your sons and your daughters are having the issues that they're having. Well, divided loyalties might have something to do with it. Don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Well, what do you think the scriptures mean when they say the Spirit of God is placed within us, is filled with envy? But he gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires. He doesn't give you grace to commit them. He gives you grace to stand against them. God opposes the proud but favors the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the adversary and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts. Your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Of course, that's James chapter 4. Humble yourselves, and he will lift you up in honor. Honor God, and he will honor you. Coming close to God means the enemy can't come close to you. It means the enemy has no place in you. So the life in the Spirit that I'm trying to explain is one of devotion, fidelity, and commitment. It's definitely not one of adultery. It's definitely not an open relationship, a polyamorous relationship, a relationship where, well, God, I love you, but I also want to love, I love this. That was the problem that Israel had. They played the harlot with other nations and other gods. Don't think we're not subject to the same parameters. You have to decide right here and right now. What life do you want to live? You want to live a life in the Spirit? You want to walk the way the Lord walked? You want to be the way the Book of Acts Church was? Or do you want to live the life you're living now, a compromised life, one foot in both worlds and thinking, well, I'm sold out to him? No, you're not. No, you're not. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless agreed? I can't walk with people that aren't in agreement with me, aren't in agreement with the Lord. I can't walk with people that aren't in agreement with the Word. I think 2019 is going to be a year where all foolishness must stop. He will no longer honor our foolishness. I want a life in the Spirit. I want everything He has for us. Father, I want Your best. And I want my brothers and sisters to have it too. Holy Spirit, we need Your help right now. We need for You to expose any area of our life that's not in alignment with You, with the Word, and with what the Lord said. Let every hidden thing be revealed. Let every deep down in the corner, in the box, hidden in the closet, locked away, trying to hide, be exposed and be revealed. Let Your glory shine down from the throne room itself like a spotlight upon those areas where we've held back or held on to our old nature. For all that agree and all that want it, the life and the Spirit, the fullness of what You described, we desire. We want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. So this is one of those areas, Lord, where the fire within us must rise up and consume everything that's not of You. Clean the dross out of the silver and the gold, and make Your reflection shine in us. I thank You for how much You love us. I thank You for the ability to do this and come before You open and transparent, saying, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy, I know You love me just as I am, but I also know that You love me too much to let me stay this way. Let that be the heart cry of us tonight. You love me just as I am, but You also love me too much to let me stay this way. I want to be what You want me to be. I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Your homework assignment, you won't have to turn it in, but you will have to review it. Every area of your life that has been revealed to you to be out of alignment with His best for you, you need to make note of. Because if you don't, the enemy is slick. He's really good at what he does. He will bring it back. He will trick you into not seeing it anymore or seeing it as not being a problem. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Gunn. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.